You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. And for new listeners, the way you can listen to the Pronk Pop Show and review my notes, if you're interested, for more information, is go to PronkPops.wordpress.com. Yesterday, we weren't on the air. We were preempted by the Dallas County Community College District Board of Trustees. So my show, together with some others, were preempted. That's the first Tuesday of every month. We're back on a regular schedule, though, Monday through Friday. There will be a show Friday, and I'm glad for it. I would have liked to have 5 days a week, but I have to live within some constraints, and that's people have to take vacations, and that meant during the summer we did not have a Friday show. But today, this week, we'll have our first Friday show. Then we'll be on henceforth Monday through Friday, except for the first Tuesday of every month, where we have the Board of Directors meeting that's broadcast for both students, professors, staff. They're not very exciting, but people do listen to them, so it's a public service, if you will. The news today is largely dominated by what happened in the primaries in a number of states. And in Ohio, there was a very, very close election, difference less than 2,000 votes between the Democratic candidate and Republican candidate in a district that is predominantly been Republican for many, many, many years, and really should have been an easy win. So a lot of and remember, the Republican looks like he's going to win, but this is only for 4 weeks. There'll be a rematch, though, come November, and that's the more interesting because that's for a 2-year term. The congressman that was there is retiring. So that got a lot of attention, and Trump has tweeted that he's, you know, he was 5 for 5. The people that he supported actually won. Good for him. But I kept saying to myself, we keep hearing this red wave, blue wave. Will it be a red wave, namely a Trump Republican wave in terms of Republicans being elected in the midterm election? Usually in a midterm election, the presidential party, in this case, Trump, is at least he ran on the Republican ticket. I still maintain he's a big government liberal Democrat from New York City that ran on the Republican ticket because he knew he couldn't get the nomination in the Democratic Party. But be that as it may, both parties, whether you call them red or blue, red being Republican, blue being Democrat, and that's not the way it historically has been. And I'll spend a minute or two on that, but I have a bigger point to make. I don't care what color you color them. Initially, the Republican Party has been associated, really since Lincoln, with the color blue. The Union Army wore blue uniforms, and the Democrats, the Southern Democrats, wore gray uniforms. But what happened in 1972, and I remember this very distinctly, and that's about when the crossover was. Initially, television was black and white. I can remember as a small child watching small black and white television, and then color was introduced, but it it was expensive. My family didn't have color for many, many years. It was in 1972, though, that the majority of the households had color, and they broadcast the Republican convention, and that's the one that Nixon won, in color. And the choice for representing the Republicans was blue, not red, blue. And the color associated with the Democratic Party was red. And red has been the color of the left. If anything, I think a good case can be made, especially today, that the Democratic Party should demand they get their color back, because they're going further and further to the left. But the more I thought about it, I said, you know, I think you should color the Democratic Party and the Republican Party red. They're both red. Why are they both red? Well, they're both for big government. They're both big government parties. Big doesn't even describe it. We're talking massively huge. Huge. No, that's one of President Trump's favorite word. Huge. I'm going to build that huge well. Wall, wall, that wall. Big, beautiful wall. Now, I'm for building the wall because even though it's $25 billion, a lot of money that, but how much do we spend on the costs for illegal immigration? Oh, over $100 billion. So I think if you built the wall and enforced the law, we could save a lot of money. Sometimes you got to spend money to save money. I'm waiting to see how many miles of that big, beautiful wall, that new big, beautiful wall, have been built. The answer is next to zero. And that will be, I think, the story in September and October. If President Trump is smart, now there's some debate about that. I think he is smart, by the way. He has street smarts, and he's articulate, and he can get his message across, and he plays big lie media. It's, how should I say it? It's not even a fair contest. But he has a problem, and I've said this repeatedly in show after show. It's not unique to him. You know, if you ever get in a card game, you got to play the cards that you're dealt. But that doesn't mean if you get a poor hand, fold or don't play. If you get a medium hand, maybe play, depending on what you see others doing. See, Donald Trump, the Republican Party, really both parties. The phrase I liked, remember that Reverend Wright, Obama's radical leftist preacher, where he went for many, 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 many years? He had a phrase, "The chickens have come home to roost." Ladies and gentlemen, it's not chickens have come to roost. Come home to roost. It's tons and tons and tons of debt. You see, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are fiscally irresponsible. They're living way beyond the means of the American people to support the size, the scope, and the role of the federal government. So in my mind, it didn't matter whether you voted Democrat or Republican. If you keep voting Democrat, Republican, no hope, no change. The trend that we're heading for, the disaster that we're heading for, the day of reckoning that we're headed for will come. I just opened, in preparing the show, I didn't put it in my notes, but I wanted to let you go to it. But I will voice a criticism. U.S. Treasury Department puts out a report. Now, the report is the monthly Treasury statement. Now, when Obama was president, and I religiously would go there every month, it tells you, and you can still look it up, they still publish it, but they used to have four formats, three or four. One being PDF, I can understand why that, and the one I always used was the HTML, plain text format. Now, why? Because I could copy and paste important pages of the report. You can't do that anymore. Oh, yeah, they have an Excel spreadsheet that you can go to. They suddenly did away with that. And then I've noticed they've gotten later and later in terms of the report. The numbers I saw were July. Well, we're in August. The numbers should be out for July. Well, I shouldn't criticize them. Eight business days. They haven't had eight business days. But we need to know the numbers. It's over $700 billion. It looks like the fiscal year deficit. We spent over over $700 billion more. It looks like through 30 September, it will be over 800 billion. It's hard to estimate these numbers because they do jump around, and we had a dramatic increase in revenues. That's the good news. But to match it, we had a dramatic increase in spending. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot continue doing this. And President Trump has not made balancing the budget a top priority. As a matter of fact, it isn't a priority. He had a tax cut. That was his big priority. I'm for tax cuts. But what should be done? Tax cuts and spending cuts. He didn't do that. The financially responsible thing to do is dramatically cut taxes and dramatically cut government spending. He's not up to the job. You hear that, President Trump? You're not up to the job. Your problem is you have a party that doesn't want to balance the budget. Oh, they talk a lot of BS. Spin it. And I'm glad Paul Ryan is retiring. I'm sick and tired of listening to him. Oh, in 10 years, we're going to balance the budget. BS. He was a flack for the establishment. But you see, he's not alone. The majority of Republicans today go to Conservative Review. I'll give them another plug. And look up their scorecard. They have it for both Democrats and Republicans, senators and representatives. The overwhelming majority of Republicans today are F or D. In other words, they're closer to the Democrats that are solid Fs. There might be a D, maybe even one C, but the Democrats are definitely F. They're in the teens in terms of their numbers. The Fs are in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem, because if you continue to vote Democrat and Republican, you get people that, even if they start out being solid A's, and everyone starts out being a solid A, you quickly find out they're big spenders. There's no sense of financial responsibility or fiscal responsibility. There's no real attempt to balance the budget. And the reason is simple, because you would have to cut welfare programs as well as entitlement programs. And how have the Democratic Party and Republican Party candidates gotten elected? Vote for me and I'll give you some free stuff. It's Santa Claus socialism on drugs, on steroids. That's why I don't vote Democrat anymore, nor do I vote Republican anymore. Because I'm for limited government. I'll be the first to say there may be a handful of people in Congress today that truly believe not only talk, but walk the walk in terms of limited government. That must change. Otherwise, what's going to happen? The United States will become Greece. And that's going to get very ugly. I think it'll be very violent. And the reason is people now have become, more than half of the U.S. citizens are dependent on government. And that includes entitlement programs such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act. It's still on the books, folks. It has not been repealed and replaced. Partially, yes. Entirely, absolutely not. And those two major categories, entitlements and welfare programs, they also call it income security because it also includes pensions, government, as well as military. What's the problem? Simple. We did have surpluses in Social Security and Medicare, not for long, but we spent it. They're both pay-as-you-go programs. Any surpluses that Social Security had in the early years were spent that very year that they came in. They were borrowed and spent on other programs. And that's why, while we tend to focus on the deficit, and that's a big number, I don't think it's a minor number. $800 billion is a lot of money, folks. But we're headed right back to $1,400 that we had in Obama's first year, fiscal year 2009. And that really should be credited to Bush. But then we had a stimulus package in the next year, which is on Obama, was $1.3 trillion, or $1,300 billion. Next year, right near $1.3 trillion. Oh, yes. The deficit went down, down, and down under Obama. When you're starting at over a trillion, that's to be expected, but it never never got to a balanced budget. See, President Trump is gambling. He's gambling that a tax cut, which absolutely necessary, but simply did not go far enough and did not fundamentally change the tax system. And he's talked about maybe another one. Now, that's needed, but you don't get chance after chance after chance. That's why he should have insisted on not only a tax cut, but huge spending cuts. The Republican Party wasn't going to go along with that, and the Democratic Party was not. So we got a tax cut that has been financed by, yes, more and more debt. When you can't pay your bills and you're the United States government, what do? You borrow, borrow, borrow. This year will be over $800 billion. Next year, over $1,000 billion. Who knows what will be the following year? The bet is that that tax cut will give us economic growth rates at least at the market trend of about 3 and 3.5%. The United States economy needs to grow at 4, 5, 6% consistently, really year in, year out for decades. That's what needs to happen. If it does happen, what happens? We have high economic growth rates. What does that mean? The economy is booming and the government would take in considerably more money. Now, they're going to spend it. That's why you're frustrated. They're certainly not going to pay down the debt. And they certainly can't pay down the bigger number, which is unfunded obligations and liabilities that are, you get a very large range estimate of somewhere over $100 trillion to over $200 trillion. Note, I said trillion. $1 trillion is a one followed by 12 zeros. $1 billion is a one followed by 9 zeros, and $1 million is a one followed by 6 zeros. I say that quickly, it's simply hard to grasp. We're in deep doo-doo. We're in trouble. That's the deficit that President Trump doesn't want to talk about. Now, he did talk about it to criticize President Obama and his administration and the fact that we have nothing to show for it, or very little to show for it. Donald Trump is running out of time. The clock is ticking. He absolutely must get that $25 billion to pay for the wall, and he should not sign anything and let the government shut down and force the Republican Party to provide the funding for that and make that position clearly known to the leadership in the Senate and the House. I will not sign any budget that does not have at least $25 billion in fiscal year 2019. It's not in the budget, and the language needs to articulate with it. In other words, he can build that big, beautiful wall, or I prefer barrier as opposed to wall. But what's in a label? He has to insist on it, because if he doesn't, he's toast in 2020. Because what the Democrats will do, as well as Republican challengers, and I think there will be Republican challengers, is say, Mr. President, where's the big, beautiful wall? Now, he can turn the tables and say, well, I want to build it, but Congress, he could run against Congress. And that may be a way out. Blame it on Congress. But that's just giving an excuse. I believe in results. I do not believe in excuses or explanations. And if he's going to keep his promise, the promise that got him in office, he better get the $25 billion in the fiscal year 2019 budget. And then why he can threaten to veto, and I think he should do it, what's going to happen? What happened in fiscal year 2018? The D and F Republicans, together with the F Democrats, get together and pass it. That's why I say, ladies and gentlemen, both parties are big government parties. They could not balance a budget to save their lives, and they cannot come up with a plan to slowly pay down the national debt and eventually fund or try to fund the unfunded obligations, liabilities of the United States government. Keep in mind the nominal GDP this year will probably be $20 trillion, maybe $21 trillion, just to put in perspective. In other words, the national debt today is over 100% of the GDP. The only time it's been a little higher than that is during World War II, when we borrowed to pay for the war. Now, the reason I'm zeroing in on this, you went, those states that had either primaries or special elections, you went to the polls, and in coming months, some states have their primaries, New York, for example, and you'll get candidates. And someone is going to be elected to Congress or the Senate or the governorship. But what's going to happen to the burden on future generations of this national debt? You keep voting Democrat and Republican, the answer is nothing, nothing. Keeps getting worse, worse, and worse. So President Trump is, I think, going to give Barack Obama a good run for his money in terms of setting new records, both in terms of deficits and debt. Obama still has the prize. That's a prize you don't want. Not that he really cared. And see, ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem. Unless the people make it a priority and elect representatives, both locally, citywide, countywide, statewide, and national, nothing will change. You really don't have a viable candidate. It doesn't matter whether you elect a Republican or Democrat. They simply will not be responsible with your hard-earned tax money. And something will give. We're running out of time, and we're running out of things that we can do that could maybe save this country and save this economy. We're living on borrowed time. And ultimately, the United States will default. I'd say sometime between now and 2040. If you want to pin me down, I would say 2030 plus or minus 3 or 4 years. Could come earlier or later. It's very difficult to forecast this because why? There are things that the government could do, such as cutting government spending, closing federal departments, balancing the budget, and not for 1 year, for decades. If you ask me what needs to be done, and if you listen to the show, you already know this, you need to fundamentally reform taxes, go to a fair tax, or my version of it, fair tax less, do away with all federal taxes, have one, and everyone pays the same rate, everyone knows. I said rate, I didn't say amount. The rate would be 20%, and it would be paid when you buy a new good or service. And because some would say that's a sales tax, I somewhat will quibble with that because both the fair tax and my fair tax less have a tax prebate. The reason it has a prebate, and prebates cost money, is to make it fair. It's called a fair tax or fair tax less. Why is it called fair? It recognizes that the burden of taxation should be significantly higher on those that are in a better position to pay. In other words, it should be a graduated tax. So to make the fair tax or fair tax less progressive, if you would like, you have a tax prebate. And the prebate would simply be a check for $1,000 for all U.S. citizens, adults that are 18 years or older. Everyone would get a tax prebate every month sent to as a checking account, or we'll mail the check. The government would mail the check. Why do you have it that way? Everyone pays 20% on new goods and services. Everyone would get the $1,000 a month check. What that means is, let's say you consume $60,000 of new goods and services. 20% of that is $12,000. So over the year, as you spend your money, you know, some weeks or months you're going to spend more money, some less, but you will be paying that 20%. Everybody would pay it. Even if you're not earning a single dollar, you're going to pay it because you're going to pay it as you check out. In other words, you decide whether you're going to save your money or spend your money. And if you're going to spend your money on new goods and services, you're going to pay 20%. Now, keep in mind all the tax revenues that would be collected either under fair tax or my version of it, fair tax less, less a real small fee, goes to who? The United States government. And that has to pay for everything, everything. Now, right now, we can't pay for everything. That's why we have these huge deficits. But to make the fair tax fair, if you spend $60,000 or less, you're going to, the most, if you spend $60,000, you're going to pay $12,000 in taxes. Obviously, if you spend half of that, $30,000, it's $6,000. And if you spend half of that, let's say $15,000, it's $3,000. Now, what's going to offset those taxes you pay? The tax prebate. Let's take the case first to $60,000. You spend $60,000. The tax total is $12,000. You get $12,000 for the entire year, $1,000 a month, so your net tax is zero. Now, let's say you earn nothing. Well, that'd be a hard case. Let's say you earn nothing. Very few people, well, there are people that earn nothing. They can't work. Either they don't have a job or they literally cannot work. They would get $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year, and they would spend it. Most likely, they won't be able to save. They'll spend every single penny, and they're going to pay 20%. You see, the burden is spread amongst those that truly can pay it. So the very, very wealthy, even though they would get $1,000 check, including Donald Trump, he's going to spend many times $60,000. But every new good and service you spend your money on, you're going to pay the taxes. That's how taxes are paid. No more income taxes, no more income tax returns, no more Internal Revenue Service. And this means no more payroll taxes for what? Social Security, Medicare, disability. The federal government would have one tax, and that would be the fair tax or some version of it. Donald Trump could propose this. He hasn't done it. He won't be the championing for the fair tax or a broad-based consumption tax. This is what needs to be done. But as long as you keep voting Democrat and Republican, it's not going to be done. That's why we have a status quo. The people that have been running the government for the last 120 years have run it into the ground. Oh, they've done some things right. You see, Milton Friedman used to say this: you spend your money wisely. You better believe people do that. But when they get to spend other people's money, they don't spend it wisely. And that is the problem with our Congress. Whether the Democratic Party or the Republican Party controls Congress or the president, it doesn't matter. It simply does not matter. See, conservatives, including classical liberals, which I am, that want limited government, it used to be a pillar of conservatism that budgets would be balanced. And only in times of war would you have unbalanced budgets. You know, I say the last great fiscally responsible president left office in 1929. That's Calvin Coolidge. Oh, he believed in financial responsibility. He said, no, no, no. They used to call him Silent Cal. He wouldn't go along with Congress. He was a successful president. Unfortunately, he lost a son that played tennis, got a blister, and it went septic, and he lost a son. And that's sort of, how should I say, he could have run for a second term. He didn't. The bottom line, to cut to the chase, I don't vote Democrat or Republican anymore. And the only thing I can see that could save this country is a new, viable, successful national party that is principled, and the principles are spelled out. And one of the principles is financial responsibility. In other words, balanced budgets. We don't go into debt to pay our bills, period. No exceptions. One exception in time of war. Other than that, and this is important, the only wars that we go into are those that are declared, instead of the several dozens, wars, police actions, whatever you want to call it. You see, we've gotten away from the Constitution. We're no longer a financially responsible nation. It's really unethical and immoral what we're doing, because it is truly burdening future generations that are not even born. And the bigger burden is if you're a young person, let's say under 30. The record of Democrats and Republicans since World War II is really despicable in the financial area. Now, some of this money was well spent, but we've lost all sight of what the prudent, wise course of action is. We don't have leadership. Oh, Trump has gotten a lot done. I'd be the first one to say, surprisingly. But most of the people in Congress today are followers. I'm not impressed with Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate. Oh, yeah, there's some stars, but many of them are retiring. I've noticed that. And that's why you shouldn't be surprised and check out. Go to Conservative Review. Go to their scorecard and check out your congressman. I don't know who your congressman is. I don't really pay attention to that anymore because it doesn't matter. I've on occasion voted Democrat. Since I was more or less a conservative, libertarian, classical liberal, primarily voted Republican, but I gave up doing that over 10 years ago. I threw up my hands. So the reason I'm really covering this is you're going to go in November, not less than 90 days away, and you're going to vote like you did, have done for most of your life. You're going to vote either Democrat or Republican. You're throwing your vote away. But then, who do you vote for? See, that's my problem. I cannot in good conscience vote for a Democrat or Republican anymore because you get the same results. There's no financial responsibility being shown. Yes, I agree you should have a tax cut, but you should have had a much larger spending cut, and that didn't happen. It did not happen. And yes, I'm for a strong defense, but not a military force to intervene in country after country after country. That's militarism. That's imperialism. America is no longer a republic. It's an empire. And all empires fall. Why? They overreach, they overspend, and they fall. And that's exactly what's going to happen to the United States. Because I see nothing, and I've been looking, the emergence of a new political party. And that's no guarantee. You see, what the Democrats and Republicans would do, let's say there started to emerge a fiscally responsible, constitutionally principled party that caught on. It resonated with the people. The American people are wide awake. Not everybody, but the people that are paying attention say, something got to give. This is not going to turn out well. I used to be in the financial services industry. I have many certifications. Most of my clients were business owners. But I would tell young people, don't count on Social Security. Either you'll get nothing or a fraction of it. It's really up to the younger generations to stand up a new political party, but the danger there is, and I see this all the time, they don't know what they're talking about. Now, that's the problem with young people for generations. They seem to be attracted to socialism. Socialism has failed, really, wherever it's tried and does lead to authoritarian, totalitarian regimes. It's not the answer. If anything, it will speed up the financial collapse of the United States. And if the United States collapses, guess what? We're talking a worldwide depression. Is it going to happen tomorrow? Probably not. Is it going to happen with a very high probability before 2040? Yes, time is running out. I'm not seeing the leadership, and I'm not seeing a new political party. I think a new political party will emerge once over 50% of the voters are truly independents. And I mean, they're not leaning Republican or leaning Democrat. They're so sick of both political parties and know how dangerous it is to consistently vote that way, that they're looking for that party to emerge so they have a party to vote for. Now, I thought I had more time, but let me spend a few minutes on the other subjects. The reason why I emphasize this, nobody's talking about it. Occasionally, you'll get a report or two, but then it's forgotten. This is the deficits. The deficits, the debt, the unfunded obligations, and what to do about it, how to avoid this, is not talked about. Period. It's not. Go look. Oh, yeah, there's some YouTube videos, but people in power talking about it? No. Everyone is trying to avoid blame. There's no, you need vision, you need courage, and you need to be able to communicate the problem to the people and what needs to be done. And what needs to be done is government needs to be downsized at all levels, starting with the federal government all the way down. And unfortunately, we have states, cities, counties that are in serious financial problem, and no one is going to bail them out. They'll try to get a bailout, but they're not going to get bailouts. Now, a couple of stories that I wanted to call your attention to. I mentioned last show, Monday's show, that there is now, and this is not new, both Facebook, now YouTube, Google, as well as Twitter, they have what are called algorithms. They're An algorithm, the way I like to describe it, it's a set of instructions. It's a program. It's a computer program. And people write algorithm program. And they can, and they're doing this, censoring. It's not a delusion. They're doing it. Conservative viewpoints. This is dangerous. My advice to business owners, and most businesses follow this, is to stay out of politics. Now, that's good advice for most people. But the problem when you're doing a platform like YouTube or Facebook or Google, most of those, they get the revenue for advertising, and they do have a, not a monopoly, but near a monopoly. But once people feel that a political point of view is not being honestly reflected. In other words, if you are anyway terminating accounts, suspending accounts, deleting videos, what they call, ghosting, shadowing, you're trying to screen out, filter out conservative points of view, especially during election years. This is poison, and this goes to the heart of freedom of speech. So I would hope that Congress would investigate this, and to a certain extent they have, especially in terms of Facebook. But you see, what I'm for is competition. You can get your opinion out, but I rely heavily on YouTube and the Drudge Report and certain newspapers. Now, to the extent that I publish, I don't publish my companion blog or my podcast on Facebook or YouTube. But I do use Podomatic and, most importantly, WordPress. I've never had any examples of censorship personally. And I'm not saying this is an easy problem, but it gets very, very suspicious when the people that are being censored are conservatives, Republicans, even libertarians. It doesn't pass the smell test. I'm alerting you to this because the American people are not going to stand for this. And to the extent that these companies, whether it's Apple, Facebook, Google, YouTube, Spotify, Twitter, and Big Lie Media do this, I'll do what I advise anyone to do. First, let the American people decide. That's the best policy. But if they're going to do this, I'm not going to watch them. And I'm certainly not going to support them. I will boycott them. Not that they care. And I'll find alternative ways to get the message out. That's why I say I'm for competition. Now, the other thing I was going to discuss briefly, we have reimposed sanctions on Iran. We're going to even add more in November. I don't want a war with Iran. President Trump is right to negotiate with them. But I don't think Iran is going to give up easily their desire to be a nuclear power with missiles. So there is a confrontation. I am for sanctions, but I know it takes too long for them to work. But I'm glad what President Trump is doing. I support what he's doing. I would not support an intervention into Iran, though. And that's all the time I really have. I got to shut it down. The other story I'll briefly mention, there's a truck driver shortage. So if you're young, healthy, unemployed, become a truck driver. But do your research. One of the problems is, yeah, there's a shortage. Why is there a shortage? Because the trucking industry simply doesn't pay enough money for the hours that they have to work. They're paid by the mile, by the way. So whenever there's a shortage, the way you eliminate the shortage is increase the benefits and the economic incentives, in other words, the pay. And that gets rid of the shortage. The problem is people need to compete. I'm all for competition. Trucking firms have to compete, and they have to compete for labor. That's the way it should be. I'm not for intervening or regulating the industry. And that's part of the problem because the federal government does regulate the industry. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by prankpops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.